the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience built.
Prepare to meet your fate.
He's right.
Then one ironclad crow sends the first guard through.
Try my new electro stun ray.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Excuse me. Okay, so I got yelled at today, and because of my dedication to the show, I'm a bad boy, and I'm supposed to be with my mommy right now, but instead I'm doing this show, and I feel ashamed. So I'm sorry, Bob, and happy Mother's Day to you. I know I've not been a good boy, but please, don't be mad at me. I know you're listening. You listen every week. That's why you're my mommy. Because you wouldn't have been that. If you wasn't listening, you wouldn't be my mommy. So, anyway, no, just kidding. This is Mother's Day, people. But we still got a show to do. So, hopefully, you're listening with your mom. And you're introducing her to the comic books. Because yeah. This is the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Yes, it is. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. All you Sue Storms, you Ma Kents, you the ones that help keep our superheroes in line.
Let's see, yeah. Not Batman's, not Bruce Wayne's favorite day, but hey.
No.
Yeah. But, Clark Kent has his mom still, and,
yeah.
Peter Parker has his aunt.
Aunt May.
Yeah, old decrepit ass Aunt May.
Pretty much, yeah.
And, Well, the mothers out there.
Let's see.
Sue Storm.
Do we technically count Scarlet Witch? I mean, she did have her own children.
No, they weren't real. Well, they are. They aren't. Who knows? It's convoluted at this point. You know whether the twins are her kids or not, and so on.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
So, anyways. What? So, how are you for Mother's Day?
I'm good. I'm very good.
You know, I get called mother 364 days a year, but when Mother's Day comes around, do anybody wish me happy Mother's Day? No, they don't.
I got you that apron. Aren't you happy?
I'm just saying, like, if you're going to call me the other mother 364 days out of the year, you could at least lump me in on Mother's Day. Is that selfish of me?
Tiny bit.
Okay.
But only like, let's say, 0.5%.
Uh-huh. So, anything you doing today or did or going to do?
We're cooking a steak dinner, and I already gave her my present, nice little card.
You're cooking?
They gave her chocolates and all that.
They're letting you cook?
Oh hell no, my dad.
Okay. So what do you do? Like,
already gave her a card. Got her
No. Listen, I'm talking about as far as the food. Do you like get open up the loaf of bread and ask as far as they let you go when it comes to food or?
I see what you did there.
I'm just asking. I mean, you know, you're a guy. You might not know how to cook.
I do know how to cook. This is I'm not doing it today.
Oh, okay.
That's my dad. My dad does it.
Well, his day's not till next month, so.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't see why we're concerned with my abilities with cooking.
Hey, you know, just concerned, that's all, you know.
You want me, okay, let me guess. Whenever I come to visit you, you want me to actually cook you a meal, don't you?
No. Oh, I don't good. Trust, I trust very few people to meals, so don't take it personal.
Fine, then you're going to miss out on my chocolate chip cheesecake.
See, you mentioned something I don't like. Cheese.
There's not... So, should we just tell people how they can join us?
Yeah, okay.
Yes, hello everybody, it's the What Are You Reading comic book show, and one of the best things about the What Are You Reading comic book show... excuse me. Is that you can join in, you can interact with us. You can call us by using your phone, by dialing 215-253-4516... We do really appreciate that method. But you could also call us on Skype by either adding or just straight up calling the contact SilverSurfer_forever, as lowercase. Or you can join me and several others, along with Surfer, in the Listen Live chat room at www.rantemradio.com/chatlisten-live. It is also at www.rantemradio.com/chatlisten-live. That you can listen to us and much, much more fine programming on Rant Entertainment Media Radio live or on a loop. And if you can't listen to us live, that's a shame, but you can listen to us on Stitcher, Internet Radio, Geek Life Radio, Podbean, Blog Talk Radio, and of course, the almighty iTunes. Open up iTunes today and go search for Rant Entertainment Media Radio in the podcast section. Subscribe, and while you're there, rate us 5 stars and leave a helpful review. That's going to help us out a lot.
Now, if you're going to add me on Skype, if there's any way to let me know that you're doing it for the show, then send that message, because I don't know if I should talk about this on the air or not, but I get Skype requests from people, right? I don't know. And I always assume it's for the show. And, you know, if I wasn't doing the show, then my Skype would be private for the most part, you know? So, yeah. I see the request, and then I click on it, and then it's always the same message. Thanks for adding. You want to talk? And it's always a woman. I don't know if it's the same woman or it's just different women. Just
probably just a scam bot.
Just you know.
Probably just a scam bot. Saying,
so you don't think it's a real person?
Why don't you turn on Skype and I'll show you my boobs or something like that.
Oh no, I don't need to turn on Skype for that.
That's what the internet's for.
Anyway,
and Mardi Gras.
So, let's start off with some moments of silence, okay? Because we had a few passings this week. The first one was Star Trek star actress Grace Lee Whitney, best known as Yeoman Janice Reed from the original Star Trek series. She died on May 1st. So, let's give her a moment of silence. Of course, she was only, what, one of 4 women on the original series for the most part?
Pretty much.
I mean, you had Uhura. You had the yeoman who would give Kirk the thing, the pad to sign off on. You had the nurse. What was her name again?
I'm trying to remember. I mean, my Star Trek lore is pretty deep, and I'm having a hard time thinking about that.
She was the nurse, and then she was on the Next Generation as the doctor in the second season.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was
Yvonne Craig at one point, but she was an Orion slave girl.
No, I'm talking about that would just show up on the show.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what I was meaning. Yvonne Craig did at
and
one
then,
point.
And then there was the woman who was Troy's mom.
Dr. Crusher herself.
No, not Dr. Crusher.
Well, you're mentioning women on Star Trek.
No, okay. No, I'm talking about the original show. And she was on the Next Generation as Troy's mother.
Okay.
You know who I'm talking about now, right?
Yeah, I know. I know the person. I'm having a hard time placing a name to the actress.
Right, okay. All right, so the next death, of course, is the king. Long live the king. Actor Nigel Terry, best known for his performance as King Arthur in the 1981 film Excalibur. Love that film. So great. You've seen it, right?
Excalibur?
Yes.
Yeah.
So many actors in there at the time that, you know, I didn't know who the hell they were. And then, like, you look back at it now, you're like, oh, my God, he was in that, and he was in that, and he got Picard, and you got Darkman, you got all these peoples, all these actors that you see today. It was in that movie. You know,
it was a damn good movie.
You got Helen Mirren, you know, being skanky and stuff. So let's give him a moment of silence.
All right.
Now, we got two more deaths. These are real tragic ones. Just had to happen. We say goodbye to the end of the Marvel Universe and the Ultimate Universe. Marvel Universe was born in 1961. Ultimate Universe was born in what? 2000.
And they both suddenly, tragically came to an end this week on May the 4th.
So all of our heroes are gone, with a few exceptions, and the Silver Surfer is safe, because he's in a pocket universe somewhere.
Ant-Man's pretty good right now, apparently.
What, he swung down to a pocket universe?
I was meaning something else. Anyway.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Moment of silence for the Marvel Universe before any discussion of Secret Wars.
Okay, people, party time! Woo! Battle World is about to begin.
All right! Woo! Where's the keg?
Now you didn't read
Oh, I read it.
No. You gotta let me finish sometimes.
Okay.
You didn't read the preview book that was in the store, right? You just read.
I did.
Oh, so you read the
book. Free comic book day?
No. This week in the store, they also put out a preview book that had like two or three pages of samples of the different stories that are gonna be told during.
Oh, that. No, I didn't have time. No, I have not read that.
Yeah, right. Okay. So, you know, first one is the Battle World one, you know. And apparently, the Punisher and Doctor Strange is Strange Punisher, some crap like that. So it's the Punisher with Doctor Strange powers going around blasting people. But it did make me decide I might be interested in some more books that I really wasn't thinking about reading through that. But that's okay. What do you think about issue one so far?
All right, issue one is ow. Sorry, I had a bit of a kink in my back. Secret Wars number one, I honestly really liked it. I thought it was a very nice first issue towards this huge event that's gonna change everything for the Marvel Universe. It's very good. It gets the setup done absolutely right, and it keeps, you know, it gets intrigued, has lots of great moments. Probably one of my new favorite Punisher moments ever. And I will say the biggest positive is Esad Ribic's art. It is fantastic.
Yeah, the Punisher, he is so single-minded, it's not even funny anymore. I mean, like, you know, the world's coming to the end, and the Kingpin, you know, he got all the criminals, like, hey, yeah, you know.
Let's watch this shit go down.
It was nice working with you, man. Let's go out
drinking,
blasted. And here come the Punisher fucking up the party.
That was awesome. I love that.
If I'm gonna die, I'm still gonna kill you, motherfuckers.
So. No, it's pretty much like, you know, they say you can't take what you love with you when you die. So that begs the question: what am I gonna do with all these bullets?
And
I love that moment. It's so good.
So, of course, here's the deal, right? In the book. If you haven't been keeping up, then they don't bother explaining to you. They just drop you off in the middle of it. It's the incursion has begun. You got the last two planets. You got the 616 and the 1610 universes about to collide. Right, it's only a matter of hours, maybe minutes, and so each side has took it upon themselves to say, "Look, we're not going out. We're going to take out the other Earth." And so big battle ensues. You got, you know, Nick Fury and his few heroes left versus the entire regular Marvel Universe and every hero they got. And Reed, you know, he's trying to, save as many people as he can with a life raft and all. And, of course, the Reed on this other planet kind of got the same idea, but...
Mm-hmm.
Tragic things happen because nothing goes right when you're trying to execute a plan while everything is falling apart.
While the whole world just starts crumbling down.
Looks like Reed has lost his entire family. You know, Sue, the Thing, his kids. Looks that way.
Yeah, it looks like that, but it's more likely they're like off in some other section of Battle World somewhere.
Well, we don't know Battle World. They don't know there's a Battle World yet.
I know. That's what's so intriguing about this whole thing.
Well, we don't know that either, because you never know. Who knows? Valeria may have come up with something real quick to save the day. We'll find out. But while everything is going bad, and you get that flash of light, what's the one thing you see in that white flash Doom? What's he up to? That's what we got. That's what we really got to find out. What has Doom done all this time? He's met the Beyond God or whatever you want to call it. Well, no, he already met the Beyonders, because he fought them in the last issue of New Avengers, which the reason why it was down to the last couple universes, because his confrontation with the Beyonders destroyed like the entire multiverse except for a handful of universes. So now I don't think he's talking to the Beyonder now. He's talking something else. Now, I know they say, yeah, we're behind everything, but I guess we'll find that out and what Doom is up to. And then I'm still trying to figure out how Doctor Strange, who's with Doom and with the Molecular Man,
yes,
is going to end up bonded to the Punisher, doing battle.
Yeah, I'm not sure as well. I mean, okay, I'll say, but again, I like the first issue of Secret Wars.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it. Of course, I've been reading everything for the last 3 years, so I'm not.
I know did, what's going on. Again, I admit I wasn't a big fan of Hickman's Avengers and New Avengers, so I did a quick catch up, like cramming for a final exam.
You know why Tony Stark wasn't on that life raft?
Why?
Because Captain America was like, "Well, look, I know we need to save some of the smart people in order for the human race to survive, but Tony Stark ain't going to be one of them." And he wouldn't kick Tony Stark's ass in the last issue of Avengers.
Huh.
So he's like, "We're done. I ain't putting up with your shit no more. The end
fuck
of the world
you,
is
Tony?
Here." Huh?
He said, "Fuck you, Tony."
Yeah, he said, "I put up with your shit for the last time." And pounded the crap out of him. Old man and all. So, you know, because Tony Stark, I don't know if this Tony Stark is going to survive into the new universe or not, or what are they going to go with? The ultimate Tony Stark or some kind of combination of the two? Because, this Tony Stark's too much of a douche and a dick.
Pretty much.
I mean, he's only steps away from being an evil tyrant. And it's not all his fault. I mean, that happened from AVX, but... So, yeah, I thought the artwork was good. So, I'm, of course, interested in Old Man Logan, and... I might get the Infinity Gauntlet, because... we'll see.
Yeah,
that's Thanos looking for the gems.
Yeah, to be honest, the ones on the related books I'm interested in, they're Ghost Racers, Runaways, Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde, Doors, Renew Your Vows, A-Force, Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps, Deadpool, Secret Wars.
Yeah, I can get all these books, and this is I can't afford that.
Anyway. Also, then Old Man Logan, and no, that's pretty much about that. Oh, X-Men 92.
Nah, I've had enough of X-Men in the 90s. I don't know why people hold on to the X-Men in the 90s so much. I mean, I know a lot of people got into comics in the 90s, but yeah, I'm not a big fan of the X-Men in the 90s, so. Anyway. Some box office numbers.
Let's get to them.
Weekend estimates place Age of Ultron again at number one.
Again.
Well, that's $77 million. It's a domestic total is now $312 million after 10 days and $874 million worldwide. Still hasn't opened up in China yet, so that's a lot of money waiting to happen. And it had a budget of $250 million, so of course, you know, everybody's swimming in the money over at Marvel and DC, Marvel and Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And, I meant to, bring up, sorry, I know this is out, but I meant to bring up another death, man, and this is the most tragic death that's happened all week.
What?
It's really, it's shaking me to my core. I mean, I screamed, I cried. I can't believe they did this. They killed off Kelly Burkhart. I can't believe they would do such a thing. Why, people? Why would you kill off this great woman? She was so awesome. Every time she stepped on the TV screen, she was a badass. And they killed off Kelly Burkhart. Can you believe that, Jordan?
Is this related to Grimm?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, no. So sad.
Don't debate. This is not the time for you to be playing with me now, because they left her head in a box for Nick Burkhart to find.
Oh, shit. They sevened him? Oh, damn.
And now he's gonna hurt somebody next week, okay? Season finale is next week. He's gonna hurt Prince Kenneth.
They John Doe'd his ass.
No, you know, I think it must be a reason why they did this, because okay, we haven't seen the person who played her since the middle of last season, right? Because she's been in hiding, taking care of this baby. Okay, I know you don't know nothing about Grimm, but I'm gonna explain this real quick.
Go ahead.
This baby is a half royal baby and a half hexen beef, which is basically a witch that gives it powers. So this baby's super powerful, and so this royal family wants this baby back, right? Because they think it'll give them power again, you know?
Yeah.
And she's raising this child so it can be normal and no size could exploit it. You know, just give her a normal life so she can grow up and not be corrupted. So Nick's girlfriend has turned evil. She's helping the bad guys. So she sends a message saying, "Yeah, your son's in trouble." So I guess raising this child has really softened her up, because she just sent him on my way. She came back. Like, usually she's like a ninja. Like she don't just walk into a situation without checking things out. But this time she shows up and she just gets out the car and she's got the baby. Now, the whole time, you don't know if it's her or not. I mean, you do know it's her, but you don't see her face personally, okay? Because it's nighttime, it's dark, and they're showing the camera from a distance. So, she goes into the house with the child, right? To find out what's going on. And the guy's girlfriend, who's now evil, is in there acting like everything's okay. Yeah, come on in. So she's sitting up in her room. And then the next thing you know, the camera's on the girlfriend. When you hear all this commotion downstairs and frightening and all this, so you never see this woman at all, right? And they're like, "Let's take this outside." So then, when it's over, you never see her. So then, you don't really see her until you see her head in the box. So I'm wondering if they did this because they couldn't get the actress to return in the role or not. I don't know, but I still think it's messed up.
That would sound real fucked up.
Hey, Grimm is better than Fringe.
See, I can't quite agree with that.
Yeah, well, that's why Grimm is on TV for next season, and Fringe isn't.
Fringe wrapped up its story.
Yeah, because it sucked.
In some alternate universe that existed on Fringe, you are so completely wrong that Fringe is still on the air and no. Grimm is canceled.
Yeah, not in this universe. Not in the real world, but anyway.
Who knows? Who's to say this is the real world?
So, are we going to talk about more TV?
Yeah, let's talk about TV.
All right, what do you want to talk about first?
Well, first, I'd like to have a few words before we go into a Gotham review, if I may.
Okay.
Son of a bitch! Woo!
It's not canceled.
I know, but I'm done watching this piece of shit. Oh my god. Woo! Anyway, so Gotham season finale was epitome of Gotham itself. All over the place, tonally confused, didn't know what the hell was going to be, atrocious writing, especially for its female characters, and really only a handful of good things in it.
Yeah, listen, you know, the whole action part, I was like, okay, we should have had more of this during the season, right? But it was on top of a story that just, okay, you got Falcone, right? He's I'm not going nowhere. I'm the boss of bosses. Fuck all y'all. This is my city, right? He knows he's at war, and he's walking around like, oh, okay. I'm the godfather getting the produce and not paying attention to the fact that people are shooting at me and my people. So, out of nowhere, here comes Maroni's men with a bazooka. Nobody's watching point. Nobody's guarding nothing. They blow up the car, and that somehow, he's not even near the car, but that somehow put him in a hospital. And now all the cops are like, oh, Maroni's taking over, so we're just going to turn the other way. And only Jim Gordon decides Falcone needs to be in charge because Maroni's too fucking nuts. And goes to help him when no one else wants to help him. Penguin's trying to off him. Everybody's trying to off this guy. So then they think they find a safe place, only to discover Fish Mooney and her crazies from the island is in this place, and they done capture them. And you know, Fish Mooney, I told you from the beginning she's probably going to die at the end of the season or go to jail, or whatever. Right? You do remember that, but.
Well, you know, it's glad to actually see her factor into the main plot again.
But I don't even know.
She actually mattered.
But the way it happened, you don't even know if she's really dead or not. I mean, she.
Well, it saddens.
She's had more horrible things happen to her and survived than to get knocked over into some water.
Okay. Can you explain?
And then, hold on. And then Falcone's like, oh, you know what? I'm done being a crown boss. I'm going to retire. I can't take this no more. And the middle of Caesar's like, I'm not going nowhere. And all of a sudden, he's out. But the worst part is little Brucey Whiny Wayne finding the entrance to the Batcave.
Okay, that's not the worst part.
No, I'm just saying, that's supposed to make him become Batman because he finds a hidden fucking cave.
Apparently, Thomas Wayne had a Batcave already.
No. The cave is, that makes sense. I mean, even in the movie, you know, they said, yeah, you know, the family used to, you know, was part of the Underground Railroad. They used to hide slaves. So having that hidden compartment, that's not a big thing. I mean, for all we know, like if he went down there in his computers and a Batmobile and a suit sitting up there waiting for him, then he say this is fucked up, contrived. But just having this hidden thing in the house, I mean, that's no. But still, I mean, the thing is, nothing this kid has done all season makes you believe he's driven to get vengeance for his parents' death. He's just been whining all season long. What were you about to say?
I was about to say there are two terrible pieces of writing. There are two more terrible pieces of writing in this. And one is how Nigma apparently now has a split personality. Suddenly.
Yeah.
After killing Miss Kringle's abusive boyfriend. The second is, we can't end the season of Gotham without really showcasing how terribly written and fought out Barbara is as a character. Yeah, by having her talk with Leslie and then suddenly lose her mind. Again, she fell off the face of the show, like almost like the people writing it forgot she was even involved.
Well,
and suddenly come back for these last few episodes, and it's like, oh right, you were here.
The whole half the cast disappeared. Like, there's no Montoya or Allen. Where the hell have they been? It's you know, think at some point.
I consider that a good thing since they. God, man, I didn't
say okay. Now, Montoya. Here's my deal, right? Okay, in the beginning, it was like they thought Gordon was a crooked cop like everybody else, right? And they had a hard on for bringing him down. It was really personal because Montoya didn't like the fact that her woman was sleeping with Jim Gordon. Okay. But you would think, okay, once they realize, okay, he's one of the good guys, that they would be one of the few people helping him out, trying to clean up Gotham and fix things. But they're nowhere to be seen. Not nowhere. It's like they just didn't exist at all. Like after Barbara wakes up from sleeping with Montoya, they just fall off the face of the earth.
Did you want to see Montoya get dragged down by the bad running of the show?
No, I mean, I'm saying you got a character you could use
to help Gordon.
And they don't follow up on it. That's the thing, because it's just the my problem with Gotham. I'm not calling it a terrible show. My problem is there's too many strings being pulled in too many different directions with no focus.
Well, that's okay, because I will totally call Gotham a terrible show because it has no focus. That's its main problem.
And then the best focus they have, they don't stick with it.
And what is that?
Which is, of course, Gordon and Bullock's partnership.
No, that's one of the positives I have. Like, again, the positives of this show are in this episode, and that's Alfred, Gordon, Bullock, and especially the Penguin.
And I think the Penguin, they played his hand a little too soon.
It was still interesting. But apparently also the show answers my own question. How to make this version of Selina Kyle more annoying, suddenly pair her up with Fish Mooney and give her a terrible Skrillex-like haircut. I will totally call Gotham a terrible show because it has no focus. It has no idea what it wants to be. It is bouncing way too many things.
They don't know what to do with Selina Kyle. I mean, if her problem is that she's living out in the streets, okay, that's fine. But
Make something of that.
It's like they do a couple episodes where she's playing footsies with Bruce. And then it's a couple episodes where she's just, I gotta stay out of juvenile home. Which, anyway, enough of that.
Screw you, Gotham. I'm done.
No, you're not. You gotta watch it next season too.
What?
Yeah. Real mature of you.
I can't hear you.
Real mature of you.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's
talk about the Flash.
Yeah, Grodd, man.
Oh, Todd, now this is a show that does everything it's supposed to right.
So far.
Including Gorilla Grodd. Can I name it? All right, these are the two main reasons I love this week's episode of The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
One, they get Gorilla Grodd absolutely right. They nailed it. They absolutely understand the character. Secondly, they have fixed one of my major problems. Iris now knows. She's getting in everyone's business about it. She's rightfully pissed off.
No,
and
Iris,
oh my God, it is
Iris
starting
got
to feel like
my
the
nerves.
Iris West I know and love from the
books. Iris got on my nerves even more this week with her bullshit.
Well, oh God, you...
First of all, you got Star freaking Labs, right? And anybody can just walk through the gates. It's like, oh, turn around. Here comes somebody just walking through. Like, where's
okay,
security? And then Iris acting like, oh, you've been lying to me. You know what? I've seen that too many shows. This is the same thing they did on Arrow. It's like, women crying because somebody lied to them and they acting like it's the worst thing that ever happened to them.
Okay, Iris wasn't crying. Iris was just... Everyone she honestly did love lied to her, and again, I...
Boo freaking who?
That's been what? What?
Boo freaking who?
Well, again, this has been one of my few problems with the show, is that they're keeping Iris in the dark, where apparently everybody knows,
because,
except for her. I'm like,
so, so Iris, of course, who won't admit to the fact that she likes Barry, and then, oh, but I'm staying with Eddie.
Okay, now that is, they need to get that love shit fixed quickly, agreed? They need to get on top of that, but again, I'm so glad Iris finally knows, and again, the character... The Iris character is starting to feel like Iris to me. She really is. And
I don't
love
like
that.
Iris.
It's so good. But,
hot to look at. I don't like it.
But Gorilla Grodd. Oh, the beauty and majesticness that comes with Gorilla Grodd.
That don't sound right, Jordan.
Gorilla Grodd is a beautiful sight.
Yeah, okay. You need help. You talk about beautiful... gorillas and stuff.
Felicity is attractive. Okay, but look, Gorilla Grodd looks amazing in this. They did him just right. You know, I thought in terms of limited.
But
he's not
full on Gorilla Grodd yet. He's not fully developed.
But they still get everything they need to about the character right.
No, because Gorilla Grodd he hasn't gotten to the point where he's like, I'm the superior mind.
Well, you're not going to get to that right off the bat.
And then where does Gorilla City come in at this?
Jesus, they're developing that. It's a slow build. You got to let something like that build up. You can't be like Gotham, just give everybody what they want right away. See, that's what's good about The Flash. They get the characters just right. They introduce what they need to about the characters that are essential to them. And the more essential things they will add along the way for a thing called character development.
There's two
and
more,
expansion.
There's two more episodes left. Now, what do you think will happen with...
I don't know. I really do not know.
And then I ask you what you think.
I don't want to think too much about this. In all honesty,
okay.
I don't want to make
any
guesses.
Okay, Jordan, when I speak, you listen first, and then you answer, and then we move on, all right?
All right,
you're being rude now. You're cutting me off.
I'm sorry.
Okay. What do you think they're going to do with Wells? Is he a one or done
season? Nah, you got to have him.
Is he going to pop back and forth as that? Are they going to use this actor to play Earbon Thorn when he shows up? Or are they going to use the other guy?
Rick Cosnett?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You got to keep Reverse Flash around.
No, I know that, but I'm saying, but he can't be there the whole time. Of course, he's
too I know that. I don't know. I've stated time and time again, I don't like to make any sort of hypotheticals based off the shows. That's just me. I really cannot tell if they're ever going to use Tom Cavanaugh again. I would love if they would, because this week, he was also one of my positives. He's really sinking his teeth into getting to play the full villain now.
What's the chance that he dies?
I don't know.
And then
50-50.
And then, of course, when you see Earbon Thorn again,
it's Rick Cosnett.
It's the pre-Wells Earbon Thorn messing with them.
I don't.
Because, here's the deal, okay? So Thorn, we discovered that he went back into the past to try to kill Barry and got stranded. So at this point, he's lived the last 15 so years waiting for Barry to become the Flash so he could start the Speed Force and get home again. And you figure there's some kind of, if going forward, if he's the same one, then you're causing some kind of loop or something. I mean, like, why would this particular Thorn go back in the past again and try to do the same thing only to get stuck again? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think maybe he might die, but then we'll see Earbon again, but it'll be, you know.
I'd rather just let the show surprise me. I want that.
Well, you think some time? The speculation that it's going to be a timeline change come next season. You think that's going to be the case?
What?
The speculation that there may be a timeline change.
I'm not too. I did not hear about that.
Okay, I'm just, you know. Anyway.
Well, again, I know you're not. Well, again, as I say, I don't like to speculate too much because I want the show to surprise me, but. I get this is supposed to be fun and all, but I suck at these. I just want the show to thrill me, to let me enjoy it. I'm not saying that is anything against you or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. But.
Excuse me. Arrow, of course. That's winding up to the season finale.
Penultimate episode.
Oh, poor Felicity. What have they done to this woman, this child? Making her whiny and weepy and weak.
This is a weak episode to me.
No, I wouldn't say the episode weak, but I've gone over this over and over again, and I'm going to go over it one more time about the one flaw of Arrow, okay? And it's them thinking they have to make one of these women on the show a weak character. Like the first season, it was Thiers. Everything about her was weak. Second season, she came back strong person, so they make Laurel weak for half a season. And then when she got her shit together, then they made Thea weak again for the second half of last season. She started whining. Oh, you're lying to me. And then this season, they make Felicity weak. Pining for Oliver, whining. I love him, but he's not there for me. I can't believe Oliver would do this. This is not the Oliver I fell in love with. He wants me. I want to be with him, but we can't be together. But then, I guess somebody wants to be with me.
I'm going to pay you to stop that voice.
Because they really have ruined Felicity. She was great. You know, she stood up for herself. I mean, look, I don't expect her to go out and punch people in the face, but. You know, emotionally, I expected her to be strong as a rock, you know, say what you got to say and not be, you know. But ever since they wanted to have her be in love with Oliver, then it's Denzel in distress, whining about Oliver. I can't believe this. I can't believe my Oliver's dead. You know they've messed her up, right?
Oh, yeah, they have. That's been... And then, season 3 has a plethora of problems.
And then by the end of the show, you know Oliver's going to be with Laurel. So, I mean, like, where's that leave Felicity? She needs to get with Nyssa Al Ghul. That's what she needs.
Okay, we're not here to talk about your fantasies.
No, I'm just saying. Nyssa, you know, she wants somebody to love, too. And Laurel, she thinks Laurel can fill that void, but can't. And I have told you that Roz is a chauvinist, okay?
Yeah.
And his whole thing is, he wants Nyssa to have a male heir for his legacy. He doesn't care about Oliver or Nyssa. He thinks if he can get a grandson, then that'll be the perfect person to take over. And I get the feeling that soon as the child was born, if it's a male, that he would off Oliver and Nyssa and would just raise the child himself. But the whole thing about, they tipped their hand about Oliver not really being brainwashed when...
Too early. That's one of the problems with this episode.
Okay. When last week, when Ross said, yeah, you're going to marry my daughter, he had that look on my face. He had his look on his face like, what? I ain't signed up for this shit, right? That's fine.
Yeah, no, he did. He did.
And, it's like it was subtle, but you could tell. But he's playing along. But when they revealed this week that Maceo gave him the Alpha and Omega, he was like, hold the fuck up. Really? It seemed like he wanted to turn around and say, no, the fuck you did not. Did you not see that look on his face?
I did see the look on his face. I was just agreeing with that.
So I'm just saying, yeah, they tipped their hand too early in the episode that he's playing along.
Yeah, and that's one of the problems with this. What I'm saying is a weak episode. They undo the intense drama that was built up in last week's Al Saheem by tipping a hand way too early. Not enough of a central focus in this episode. Sudden Roy reappearance, which was good, nice closure.
Roy will show up next week.
Also, the only highlight for me was the big action sequence midway through the episode at Nada Parbat,
mm-hmm.
where Ray suddenly shows up. But for really, the bigger highlight was the sword fight between Katana and Maceo.
Mm-hmm.
That was it, because the sword fight choreography was outstanding, nicely done, tense action, editing, so I can actually tell what's going on, and an emotional ending to it, which was very nice. It was very heartbreaking to actually see that happen, and I found myself so completely enraptured by that. But then the episode went and had a bumpy road once again right after that. It's an episode that's trying to wrap up so much and also build, set up for the finale, but it's all over the place. It does not know where exactly to put the focus. For certain parts, it's a mess that makes it a weak episode to watch after last week's very good episode.
What did you think of Katana's outfit?
I liked it. It looked good.
And you think she'll be around next season? Or you think it's just a...
I think she could be. I don't know. She could be a new member of Oliver's team for all we know.
Well, yeah, it's going to be... They say there's going to be changes. And you know who hasn't been around in a minute is, of course...
The Huntress?
No, not the Huntress. The Captain.
Oh, yeah, Quentin.
Yeah, I mean, like...
Honestly, I haven't really thought of a reason he could fit into the latest two episodes. I mean, that could change with the finale.
Right. Well, you figure he should show up once they go back to Starling City, but it's like he was last seen on the Flash, and it, like, dudes tell him, like, yeah, you should make up with your daughter and not be mad at her. And then nothing. But you got more Canary Cry, though.
Oh, God. I love the Canary Cry on this show. It's so good.
But
to
I think
see
they,
it.
They think they should have explained it on Arrow. If you don't watch both shows, you don't know why all of a sudden she can do a sonic scream. And you know, they should have explained it. But anyway, what do you think would happen if Black Canary and Black Bolt made love?
Everyone in the world would die, or suddenly be deafened. I'm more worried about Black Bolt opening his mouth than I am Black Canary.
Well, he's done it, so I mean, I think you know how to keep it quiet. I mean, he has a son, so.
Oh yeah, I'm more worried about Black Bolt than I am Canary. So, Black Bolt will just straight up murder with his voice.
All right, what other shows we got to talk about?
iZombie, again, turning out to be a very pleasant surprise. The latest episode, Dead Air, was very good.
Yeah, there's a lot more zombies out there than we realized, though. But I want to know, is Major becoming a zombie, and is the other guy going to become a zombie, too? I mean,
what other guy?
The guy that works with Liz.
The medical examiner?
Yeah.
You should have specified, because there's like two... Anyway, I don't think he will be. We need a... We still need a human connection with the character.
Because he got bit by a zombie-infected mouse, so...
Oh, that's right. Well, shit, he could... He most likely could be.
And, yeah, that other bad guy zombie, he needs to die.
No, I like that character. He's interesting.
No, but he's causing too much evil in the world. I mean,
you gotta have a villain.
Yeah, but people are dying on his behalf, and he's turning people into zombies just so he can make money.
Yeah, kind of like what a villain would do.
Yeah, but, you know, the one of the police if he got the police turning into zombies, then that's not good for the rest of the world. It's not, because now we know that the captain is on his dole, so no, he got to go.
No,
he does.
He's an interesting character. You gotta have a villain. He's playing the role fine.
Yeah, but you gotta stop the villain at some point.
Well, I know that.
All right,
I
so he gotta go.
Well, I like the character.
Then you get a new villain.
Well, let's not get rid of him so fast.
No, get rid of him.
That's your problem. Me, again, this is one of my favorite episodes of the show so far, with Liv, you know, taking on the personality of a radio psychologist who has a radio show.
I wonder if she's going to be.
It made for some great laughs.
I wonder if she's going to be on tonight's episode of Once Upon a Time.
Who was?
The Liv character. Rose was it MacGyver?
MacGyver?
Yeah. I wonder if she's going to show up tonight, because she plays Tinkerbell.
Oh, right.
And it's the season finale tonight, 2-hour episode, 8 p.m., where the villains get their happy ending.
Well, iZombie is still good. Keep watching that, people.
Yeah, iZombie. It's renewed for next season, so.
Which would lead us to several stories we have.
Okay, go ahead. Fire away.
We have several renewals, cancellation, series orders, and pickups for you people. Come on. All right. First off, as Surfer said, yes, iZombie is renewed for a season 2. Also renewed not comic book per se, but Orphan Black is going to get a fourth season, which makes us very happy.
Yeah, so long as they keep the story interesting, sure.
Agreed. And by the, and let's be honest, there's only so long you can take the story of Orphan Black, so. But we got a twofer from ABC. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming back for a season three, and Agent Carter is indeed going to be getting a season two.
But no S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff.
No, that's officially been dead. That's officially dead now. And to be honest, I'm kind of glad, because we don't really need a spinoff.
Yeah, a spinoff wouldn't have been bad if they did, right? But
I'm just not sure why we needed one.
Well, I mean, you know, Marvel owns the rights, ABC. They wanted some time filler, and, you know, maybe it gives them a chance to do some stories that doesn't have to necessarily tie into the movies like everybody else wants it to, so.
Fair enough, but I'm fine without it. That's just me. And now for series Pika. Oh, also Powers has been renewed for a second season on the PlayStation Network.
Excuse me. No, no Constantine, but that don't mean it won't come back. What? It still could end up on another network.
Yes, Constantine is officially canceled. Constantine is officially canceled by NBC, but Warner Brothers is still looking at possible new homes for it. It's shipping it around, and hey, even Stephen Amell's upset by that. If Google Chrome will allow me to tell you why. There we go. Yeah, Matt Ryan took to Twitter to share his condolences and such about as to why, as you know, he's upset the show is canceled. I am too. Constantine was very good. You had nothing better to do on Friday nights, people, and you know it. But, you know, in this, you know, Stephen Amell said, you know, hey, I'd be up for a Constantine crossover. Why don't we do something like that? And again, and Amell said, like, hey, why can't we just do a crossover? Apparently, at a recent appearance at Wizard World Philadelphia Comic Con, you know, he got asked if he and Grant Gustin would be in the upcoming Justice League movies. I mean, he just, once again, confirmed, like, this, you know, movie TV universe are very, very separate. But he said, like, on the B side, there's an opportunity for interconnectivity with any DC television show that exists. Like, as an example, yesterday, Constantine was canceled. And yeah, I know, that's brutal. It's a good show, and it should come back. And it may come back. There are various platforms where it could come back. Now, Constantine was an NBC show. I'm on the CW. I have had DC, so not NBC or CW, but with DC Entertainment about guest starring on Constantine when it was still on the air, and that was and still is on the table. So apparently these crossovers could be possible.
Yeah. Now, real quick.
Not too sure I'd want them, but
NBC has released their fall schedule, and for those interested, Heroes Reborn will be on Thursdays from 8 to 9, and Grimm will be on Fridays from 9 to 10. So, they won't be on the same night. You gonna watch Heroes Reborn, or you don't?
I do not care about Heroes Reborn. I stopped caring about Heroes long ago.
I never got into Heroes because there was a couple things that just bothered me, and it turned me off, and I just said, you know, I don't, I'm not going to watch this. And I just didn't get into it after that. I wanted to, but I didn't.
So I take it we don't have to review Heroes Reborn?
Well, we watch it, start, and see how we feel.
Ugh, jeez, I don't. Man, well, Heroes lost me after the first season.
Well, maybe one they'll correct the problems. And no Loeb, you do know that, right?
Is Jeff Loeb involved?
No, he can't be.
Oh, phew.
I mean, he works for Marvel TV. And unless Heroes is done by Marvel TV, no.
All right. Well, there are a couple series pickups that are official. First, Lucifer is officially greenlit for the fall season over at Fox. Lucifer, of course, is being based off the DC Vertigo book, where Tom Ellis will play the dark-haired former Lord of Hell, who in the show is born and abandons his kingdom to run a piano bar out in L.A. where he sometimes helps the LAPD punishing criminals.
LAPD, huh?
Yep.
So he's a good guy. He's the devil, but he's a good guy.
The devil might be the most honest cop on the LAPD.
Does he have an ulterior motive?
That's not said in the synopsis, so we'll have to watch the show.
Does he punish criminals harder than he should because he's the devil?
I think he might. It's the devil.
Okay, I'm just saying, does he send people to hell if they commit a crime?
I don't know.
We'll check it out. It's our job.
Yeah, we will. And Supergirl is officially coming to series. It has officially been given a series order at CBS and will debut this fall.
Do you trust CBS?
Well, it's the same people behind Arrow and Flash, but it is CBS.
CBS owns part of CW, but that doesn't, they look at those networks a bit differently. And I'm not saying that CBS is going to mess it up, but they might. They might not have respect for the audience and think that, you can just put anything out there. That's what I'm saying.
I'm curious as to Supergirl. I hope it's done right.
Me too. I mean, and let's not pretend like Superman don't exist if you're going to have a Supergirl series,
Yeah. Well, since we're talking about DC, let's talk about something that happened as we were recording our Avengers special last week. That seemed to break the goddamn internet.
Always does.
Yeah. The first official look of the Suicide Squad. David Ayer last Sunday exactly released a group picture on his Twitter saying, Task Force X assembled and ready. # Suicide Squad with our first looks at Adam Beach as Slipknot, Jai Courtney as Captain Boomerang, Karen Fukuhara as Katana, Carol Delange as Enchantress, Joel Kinnaman as Rick Flag, Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, Will
Smith Robbie
as
or Robbie?
Deadshot, Mr. Echo from Lost, I'm sorry, I cannot pronounce that name to save my life, as Killer Croc, and Jay Hernandez as El Diablo.
Is it Robbie or Roby?
Margot Robbie.
You think she looks like, what's that girl name?
Jamie Presley?
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard that comparison a lot. Maybe if I'm confused on the wrong day, maybe. They look completely different than me. I can definitely tell them apart.
I've seen angles where they do look like they're the same person.
Well, some angles, yeah. I mean, if it's a certain angle, you might get me. I might get confused. But honestly, looking at them straight on, I can tell the difference.
But it seemed like Margot Robbie's look has changed in the past year or two. I mean, you look at she's not been out a lot, but if you do look at the things that she has been in, she looked different from the beginning than she do now. I mean, I don't know. It was just we weren't paying attention, looking at her closely enough or what, but she, that's why you would think she looks somewhat more like Jamie Presley, because in the beginning she didn't look like her, and now all of a sudden she does. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, here's my thing. I like the look of this group, minus two things. One, not too hot on how Harley Quinn exactly looks, not enjoying the new 52-inspired type look, but that's fine. It's all about the performance and the personality of Harley Quinn that you gotta get right, too.
How do you want her to look?
Again, what's so wrong with the full body suit?
As opposed to what? What's she got on?
Have you not seen the picture?
Yeah, I know. What she got on that you don't like?
I'm just not a big fan of the whole ensemble look. It's okay. Can I just say I just don't like the look overall? Why do I gotta micro-analyze
all? Because, Jordan, I think you just want to... What your dirty fantasies are played out, and you're not happy because
I'm not gonna give up.
You're not getting the dirty, flirty one that you want. That's all. Tell the truth.
Look, I'm just not a fan of how the costume looks. Is all
okay? No,
is what I'm saying.
I'm just kidding.
Also, the second problem: Jai Courtney still Captain Boomerang.
This may be his breakout role. This may be the role that says he can act. I mean,
let's hope so. Listen,
didn't a lot of people used to hate every time Channing Tatum showed up in a movie? Now they all ride on his Tatum when he's in a movie.
Well, yeah, it's because he's shown. Yeah, but that's because he improved. He learned more. He honestly got a sense of humor about himself. And you're right. I could be wrong about Jai Courtney, but
this could be his breakout. This could be his, you know, breakout performance.
But until I see any sort of footage of him as Captain Boomerang right now, he's still the absolute wrong fit for the role for me. He's boring, and Captain Boomerang has a personality about him.
Well, we'll find out.
Let's hope so, because I want to be wrong. Shit. Related to Suicide Squad, Tom Hardy did open up on his Suicide Squad exit, which confirmed the original saying, scheduling conflicts on the movie he was shooting, The Revenant, with Leonardo DiCaprio and Alejandro Iñárritu. Everyone can stop saying, oh, it was a script, oh, he wasn't going to get enough time. Nope, it's scheduling conflicts. Pure as simple as that. And he actually loved the script. He honestly said that if you read the interview, he really is upset that he had to leave it, but scheduling commitments and conflicts, sorry, that's life.
That's all right. He's about to come out in Mad Max next week, so he'll be all right.
Really want to see.
Did I tell you I saw it?
I hate you right now. How is it?
I gotta do a review on it.
That don't answer my question.
I know, because I don't want to, you know, answer you and do a review. I mean, you know how that works.
You can't just say if it's good or bad?
No, I can't. Because if I say one thing, then what's the point of listening to my review then?
Tease people.
No, because you asked me the simple question whether it's good or bad.
Well, anyway, Hardy also opened up later in the week. It's apparently developing some mystery project over at DC.
Yeah?
Yeah, he also said in the same interview with Collider, I actually got something cooking with Warner Bros., which is also a comic book. It's a DC thing. Which is kind of... It's really good, actually. It contains elements from all kinds of stuff. From Ocean's 11 to Batman. You can get all the cool rappers out. And it would be a really big, cool Technicolor Pulp Fiction. It's a psychological fuckfest. It's absolutely awesome. And it's as if you would take Transmetropolitan and make it happen. But it's not that out there. It's something which... is much more real world. It could be like Heat. It could be fucking awesome.
This is a DC property.
Yes.
Is it vertical DC or regular DC?
Well, he also said it's real estate. It's prime real estate, which is sitting there right under everybody's nose that no one's really thought about yet, and it goes TV and movie. It's awesome. I can't believe that nobody's ever done it. I know they thought of it, but no one's actually blown life into it yet. So... I have no idea.
They're going to do MOGO. That's what they're going to do, right?
They're totally going to be OMAC.
They're going to do MOGO, the Living Planet.
Finally, for all you MOGO fans out there, it's happening.
Okay. MOGO Jones are like that, so.
Well, yeah, of course. But that might conflict with something he said earlier this week in the same interview. He said, you know, I heard one of ours has a... And he said, you know, he was asked, you know, about Warner Bros. Having a few superhero movies. And Hardy said, I want the Punisher. I want the Punisher or Splinter Cell. I want something. I don't know what I want. And he... So basically, Hardy said, he'd love to play Frank Castle.
Yeah, but...
But if he's already developing something with DC, it's going to be a bit conflicting.
So, Tom Hardy in a DC role... What could this be?
We could spend all day here guessing.
We need to put a screeching halt to the show and figure this out.
No, we do not. We have too much news items.
Okay. That's it. We got time. We got all night to do the news.
I don't.
Let's see.
I got a steak dinner. I don't know what you're talking about.
He's doing Dr. Fate. That's what it is. Yes. Okay.
Wait. Problem solved. Is Dr. Fate.
What?
Hardy is Dr. Fate.
Problem solved. Let's move on.
No, okay, fine. I'll throw my guys out there. He's the elongated man. He is Ralph Dibny.
Okay, problem solved.
There we go. All right, so one more DC little thing. A deleted scene came out this week from the Flash's Facebook page of the show. It actually answers a question people have been wondering as to... Who is feeding the metahumans in the Star Lab?
Yeah, I've been wondering that.
Prison.
I've been wondering that.
Yeah, well, there's a deleted scene from Grodd Lives on the Facebook page of the Flash show that shows Caitlin that they pay out of their own pocket to go and buy the food for the metahumans. Apparently, Weather Wizard likes Thai food. Peekaboo enjoys enchiladas. So
wait, out of Caitlin's money or Dr. Wells' money?
I'd imagine it's a joint thing. I imagine they all put in money since it's...
Yeah, you know, that's the one thing they need to explain, okay? Listen. Alright, so you had Star Labs, right? So it's a research facility.
Yeah.
So it's making bank. Then the accelerator... Particle accelerator explodes. So now nobody works there no more except for these three people.
Uh-huh.
Now, one, how is this facility running, and who's paying Caitlin and Cisco all this time? They just coming to work every day for free? And how are they living and eating and stuff?
All right, I'm going to make one guess as to this, and I'm just going to say it's a guess because I'm not really thinking this fully out.
Mm-hmm.
They're still on a payroll of Star Labs and such, but that Star Labs isn't primarily set up in Central City. They gotta have other facilities elsewhere, and that there's still like some financial thing going on where any Star Labs employee anywhere gets.
Well, you have Star Lab, but it's not in Star City.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know. I got nothing. I can't answer that. I just can't. Like, we already... I don't fucking know. What we do know is that all the answers to questions people have had about the Particle Accelerator Prison are going to get answered in the upcoming penultimate episode, Rogue Air, which is airing this Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they're still getting paid. So, but hey, people, your questions are solved. Sorta.
Okay. Any more TV talk we got?
Let's see. The showrunner of Powers will not be returning next season. Rosario Dawson is officially returning for Daredevil Season 2.
Yes. That made a lot of people happy.
It makes me very happy. And the official synopsis has come out for the second Marvel Netflix show, a.k.a. Jessica Jones. Ever since her short-lived stint as a superhero ended in tragedy, Jessica Jones has been rebuilding her personal life and career as a hot-tempered, sardonic, badass private detective in Hell's Kitchen, New York City. Plagued by self-loving and a wicked case of PTSD, Jessica battles demons from within and without, using her extraordinary abilities as an unlikely champion for those in need, especially if they're willing to cut her a check.
Sounds like
the character to me.
No, I'm saying it sounds like why Witchcom fell in love with her.
Oh, exactly.
Because he likes the check, too. Oh, sorry to derail the show, but there's a video on Facebook I want to play. It's eating at me. I'm not seeing it, so I'm going to play this real quick and see what.
All right, go ahead.
This is your loving reminder to try McDonald's new sirloin third-pound burgers made with premium ingredients, but they're only here for a limited time. Limited time. Limited time. Limited time.
You know what? This is the new hamburger commercial. I had to see. What do you think about the new Hamburglar?
It's a man.
Right, but
I have no opinion about the new Hamburglar.
Okay. That's the reason why I wanted to look at that video, because I saw the new Hamburglar. I wanted to see what they. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Back to the program.
Yes. Man, we're just all over the place today, aren't we?
Yeah, it happens. Jeez, man, I got a friend.
But don't you love it that way? It's so good.
I got a friend who's a cosplayer. And so he went to the con this year dressed as Xerxes, man. Scary.
Who went to a con?
Huh?
Who went to the con?
Who, me?
No, I said, who went to the con?
A friend I know. He's a cosplayer. He went to Philadelphia.
Wizard World Philadelphia?
Yes.
I thought that was your annual con you hit up.
I was there this year.
Oh, okay.
So he dressed up as Xerxes. And it's scary how close he looks to the guy in the movie. The only difference is he doesn't have the height, but anywho.
But yes, that is all our TV news. Man, a lot of goings on in TV. A lot of it. But now, we're going to get to the movies, since one more thing about TV, sorry. Hey, if you're going to be at the San Diego Comic Con, Conan O'Brien is going to be taping his show there.
Is that a signification that San Diego Comic Con has jumped the shark, or just part of the mainstream?
It jumped the shark long ago.
So you don't think San Diego is worth going to at this point?
I mean, part of me would still like to go at least just once for the experience and to meet other fans, you know, to meet new people and such. That would be cool. And, you know, and maybe have a chance to meet some of my favorite comic creators. That would be cool. But honestly, yeah, apparently, from what I keep hearing from people that I know that have gone, that place is getting way too overcrowded. Like, the space at the San Diego Convention Center just doesn't hold. It just isn't possible of holding it anymore. You know, that maybe they'd be better off with Anaheim or some other nearby place.
First of all, what they should do is separate the comic book con from the movies and then move the movie con someplace else.
Well, see, I do understand people saying, like, well, it's been more about pop culture.
You can't call it San Diego Comic Con if it's not in San Diego.
I know. And, again, I've heard some people say, like, well, it's just all about, you know, it's more about geek and pop culture overall now at this point, which is good, but, yeah, you know, for some people, it's like, well, why am I even bothering to come here? And that's a fair point, since really all the big announcements that come out of San Diego Comic-Con, they're online like 20 seconds.
Well, you know, it really got to a point where it was just too much when it was all about Twilight at Comic-Con.
Yeah, that was like 1 year.
That was more than 1 year. Like every year that movie came out.
Well, it was a genre work, and it's a big genre convention, so.
But once you take away the movie part, it becomes a good con with it's not overblown. Because most of the people is waiting in to get in the Hall H, and what, they're waiting in line for how many days now just to get into that one hall?
See, and by the way, that is what I would say, is that as much as I would like to go to Comic-Con at least once, I am not doing anything in Hall H. Screw that. I am not wasting all of this time and money I've spent to go there to just sit in a damn line. Screw that. I'm not doing it.
Well, I thought, like I said, last year I thought it was going to be a disaster when New York City, they're going to clear the main hall between panels. But it turned out to be the best thing they could come up with. Because it freed you up to see that panel you want to see and then go to other things during the day. Because you had your little wristband so you could get in when that panel was time to begin. And, you didn't have to sit there all day and sit with panels you didn't care about. So, and also let people, like I said, see the show and not stand in line for hours hoping to get in for that one Daredevil panel or whatever, you know?
Yeah, again, that's why if I ever do have a chance to go to Comic-Con, I'm not doing anything at Hall H. As much as I would love to and be the person, I saw it first. No, sorry, it's going to be on the internet within a couple weeks or, like, online within, like, a few minutes or so anyway. And no, I'm not going to do Hall H. Ever.
Well, Wizard was broadcasting their panels on Con TV, so like if you wanted to see the Stephen Amell panel and stuff, that was, I think it still might be available if you download the app. Might be available for demand. Did we ever get into that Batman cartoon a week or two ago?
Yeah, Unlimited.
Animal Instincts. Yeah, we talked about it. We reviewed it. I don't remember.
Yeah, we talked about it.
What did we say about it?
I thought it was just okay. It was fine. Kids will like it. Parents might enjoy it if they want to, you know, watch it with their kids or whatever.
Okay. Okay.
Pretty much it.
All right, let's get into some
movies.
Yeah,
movies, since Captain America Civil War had an assload of news this week.
Yeah, it's going to start filming soon.
It's filming right now.
Oh, okay. I thought they would give it a week or two until...
Nope, filming in Atlanta.
And everybody but the Hulk and Thor is going to be in it.
Yeah, apparently, because while there have been a lot of stories that came out, it can all be condensed into.
This is really Avengers 2.5.
It really is at this point with the number of people that are in it. It really is, because now we have Emily Van Camp returning as Agent Sharon Carter, aka Agent 13.
That makes sense. You know, Steve gotta have a lot of interest.
William Hurt will be back as General Thunderball Ross.
Maybe he'll be the Red Hawk.
Let's hope not. I'm sorry, I still don't like it. Martin Freeman from Sherlock, Watson from Sherlock, has officially joined in a mysterious role.
One website put a speculation that he might be Garrick, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I read that. The other one is that he might be playing Everett Ross, government agent assigned to Wakanda, and I think it's more so he's going to play Everett Ross.
Why would they have him in Wakanda? First of all, you know, I don't see why they would let Martin Freeman into Wakanda. I don't get it. Wakanda is a closed off nation. You know, free of the Europeans. I'm just saying. They don't let them in, so. No, I don't know. We don't know.
Yeah. And the Vision and Ant-Man are joining.
And, of course, it's they're going to do the whole something tragic is going to happen, and it's going to be, should the hills be left accountable, and that's going to cause the fracturing, which is the basis for civil war. You know,
yes, the official synopsis was released, which says Captain America Civil War picks up where Avengers Age of Ultron left off as Steve Rogers leads a new team of Avengers and their continued efforts to safeguard humanity after another international incident involving the Avengers results in collateral damage. Political pressure mounts to install a system of accountability and a governing body to determine when to enlist the services of the team. The new status quo fractures the Avengers while they try to protect the world from a new and nefarious villain.
Now, you know what? I think they're about to do Civil War on Avengers Assemble. Which I know. Well, you know, the team has broken up because of Tony Stark. Them taking on Ultron, it's like Tony Stark doesn't tell the team what he's up, what he's doing. And Cap is like, I can't do this. You know, you don't clue us in. You just go off. So it's a split Avengers. You got on one team, you got Iron Man, you got Thor, you got Hawkeye, and you got Ant-Man, right? But then Cap, he's now working for S.H.I.E.L.D. with the Hawk, Black Widow, and Falcon. So the last few episodes, it's been one team or another. But everybody's starting to find out that, you know, it's not all peaches and cream the way the dynamic is set up, because Tony don't have all the tools he need. And then now Cap, he's starting to not like working for Nick Fury, because Nick Fury don't clue him in on what they're doing. But now Nick Fury just told them they got to bring down the other Avengers team, because when Tony's team get into a fight, there's too much collateral damage, and they don't look at how much is being destroyed when they try to stop a villain. Because Tony's just like, oh, we stopped him. If a building fell down, oh, so what? You know, we did our job. So that's what it looks like it's shaping up to on Avengers Assemble. The end. Come on, man. Stop pouting.
No. It turns out I accidentally muted my mic for a moment.
Don't mute your mic when I'm talking. That's rude.
I accidentally... Did you not hear the accidental part?
Look, I know you don't watch Avengers Assemble.
Yeah, I've kind of just fallen off the show. It just hasn't grabbed my attention now.
It's not as bad as Hawk and Agents of Smash.
Oh, no. That show and Ultimate Spider-Man are still terrible.
No, Ultimate Spider-Man does some good episodes. I told you, the last when they did the whole Spider-Verse, that was some four good episodes. But anyway, so what do you think about Daniel Brühl playing
Baron Zemo?
Baron Zemo, yes,
that's good casting. I love Daniel Brühl; he's a fantastic actor. He needs more work.
And then Crossbones is coming back.
Yes. For Crossbones, that's amazing.
So maybe Bat Rock the Leaper will make another appearance too. And hopefully we get some more Armin Zoloff.
Arnim Zola.
Yeah. I mean, he's not dead really. He's just, you know, he could be inside of another computer somewhere or inside some kind of robot or something. Maybe try to take over the Vision.
So. Very true.
Now, do you think this movie is going to be more set up for Avengers 3, or is it going to be...
I think it will be a mixture of setup and its own thing.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I, you know, simple as that.
All right, what else about, what else we got on Captain America?
That's all the news. Like I said, we just condensed it all right there.
Now, what do you think about Joss Whedon getting a ton of
blowback about Avengers Age of Ultron?
I think that's some bullshit. I think, honestly, yeah, some people might not be happy with the movie. That's fine, but don't harass. But make your criticism. Don't harass the person that's made it.
They
be respectful.
They don't like the way he got Black Widow in love with Bruce Banner, and among other things. I tell you, man, this is why we can't have nice things. The quote Phil from Turnbuckle Throwbacks. This is why we can't have nice things. Because somebody's always upset about something. Nerds. That's why I hate nerds. They do. Never be a nerd in his lifetime. You know, I liked it better when the nerds got picked on. You know, ever since Revenge of the Nerds, it's just been, the world just hasn't been right. I'm tired of nerds. We need to take this land back from nerddom before it's too late. Okay? Just saying.
Again, some people just need to know when to calm the hell down.
Yeah, people either like the movie or don't like it.
Don't harass the artists, okay? Just tell them why you don't like it. Don't be a dick. Shit. Some people, man. Some fucking people.
What's the word about the front runner for Spider-Man director?
Oh, yeah, okay. So there's a list out there of people who are being considered by Marvel and Sony right now to possibly helm the next adventures of yours and mine's friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And those names include Jonathan Levine of Warm Bodies and 50-50, Ted Maliff of St. Vincent, Jason Moore of Pitch Perfect, John Francis Daly and Jonathan M. Goldstein of the upcoming Vacation movie, and Napoleon Dynamite's Jared Hess.
Okay, well, Jared Hess, not to say he's a bad, but no one cares about Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, no, I've seen his other films. He's a bad director. He is. Napoleon Dynamite seems like us.
Okay, out of all those movies you just mentioned, which one you think is the best movie?
Of all those movies, it's 50-50.
Better than Warm Bodies?
Yes. And I like Warm Bodies. Now, I think Warm Bodies is a very good movie. But honestly,
I still haven't seen St. Vincent yet.
Yeah, neither have I. I heard it's very good. But let me say this. Napoleon Dynamite, as it's seen with Jared Hess's career, has kind of proven to be a bit of a... Oh, what shall we call it? A fluke.
Maybe.
Oh, because, oh my God, Jared Hess's other films, I don't like. I really hated Gentleman Broncos. That movie's pissed me off.
I think a lot of people didn't like that. Did you see the Red Band trailer for Vacation?
I did, and that's hilarious. It is so good. I'm honestly looking forward to that.
Ed Helms is rusty. And it's funny how they showed a picture of Anthony Michael Hall when he was rusty as a little kid, as if he grew up to be Ed Helms.
What, you don't believe young Anthony Michael Hall could evolve into fully grown Ed Helms?
But say, we know
that
what,
is logic,
we know what
sir.
A grown Anthony Michael Hall looks like.
Yeah.
So.
Well, okay, just let me say this. I'm going to ask you. Choose one right now. That list of directors, who do you want directing Spider-Man?
Well, I love Warm Bodies, and so.
You gonna go with Levine?
Hey, I think so. I mean.
Yeah, that's my choice as well.
But you know, we'll leave it up to the experts. And is it true that the title may be Spider-Man: The New Avenger? Or that's just a rumor, or what?
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm hoping for Levine. Just really.
And then, you know, the cast Asia Butterfield, you know, we'll be good to go.
Yeah. Well, speaking of movies, a couple movies have been optioned lately. Greg Berlanti is apparently optioning Image Comics' the Infinite Horizon over at Warner Brothers. Yes. Which is a comic created by Gary Duggan and Phil Noto, a 6-issue miniseries that is described as the following. A soldier's long journey home after years of war in the Middle East. In the not-too-distant future, a small group of abandoned soldiers are led home by one man, the captain. To get back, he will have to cross half the globe and endure deadly encounters with many enemies, including the Cyclops and the Sirens. But first, he will have to survive the final hours of war.
Sounds cool. Sounds good.
Yeah, apparently this was taken, inspired by Homer's The Odyssey.
We don't need another Odyssey movie.
Yeah, we've kind of got enough of those. But yeah, Berlanti's apparently bringing Infinite Horizon to the big screen, and that's pretty. That sounds pretty interesting. I might have to pick that book up. Also, yeah, remember Nathan Edmondson? We interviewed him.
Yep.
Yeah, well, his creator-owned book at Image with his Punisher artist, Mitch Gerard, getting optioned by Paramount.
Chase, it's I think that's the payday now, is to get optioned to a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
But that doesn't... It used to be a big deal. Now it's not, because even when you get optioned, doesn't mean it's going to...
happen immediately, yeah. Or something like that.
Look how long it took Powers to
yeah, that was supposed to be on FX for a while, and that just went through.
But not even that. I mean, yeah. Like, Powers got originally optioned like 10 years ago.
Yeah. And went through. Yeah, it was supposed to be on FX.
Mm-hmm. And there's been so many shows that's been optioned for movies and TV shows that we're still waiting on. Forgot that it got optioned. Ridiculous. So, but hopefully it'll work out for him, you know?
Yeah, no, I want to wish Edmondson luck, because, well, by the way, here's what the activity is, although you could go back and listen to our interview, but if you don't have time, the activity centers on a highly trained, top-secret military operations group that deals with situations no other unit is equipped to handle. It's been published monthly since 2012, and apparently Edmondson has confirmed it via his Instagram, where Dan Lin, Ken Nolan are handling the script. So hey, congrats, Nathan. By the way, speaking of Edmondson, I read Punisher number 18 by same set team. Very good issue. I think it's my favorite issue of their run so far.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been reading Punisher? You been keeping up on that?
No, I haven't.
Ah, that's a shame. That's a damn good book.
No, I just, you know, I can't read everything, so. I'm not like you. I can't chew gum and read at the same time, so. I wish I could. I used to be able to, but you know,
an impressive skill, chewing gum.
My old brain has slowed down over the decades, and you know, it's, what were we talking about again?
You were gonna give me $100 paycheck every month, Dick.
I'm sorry, I had to take a nap. You know, just old age.
Well, let's talk about a few other things. Kevin Feige's remaining at Marvel. His contract with Marvel Comics, more so Marvel Studio, has been renewed and is lasting up until through 2018.
Marvel would have been, Marvel and Disney would have been dumb to not
let him go. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, he's still around, and he even said something about going dark in the MCU.
Not going to happen.
Yeah. This is directly from him himself. Quote, there is no dark turn in the MCU. He says every year fans come up to him and ask him when the movie's going to go dark. There's a dark turn. And he says he hoped by now people would catch on. There will be no giant dark turns in the MCU when it comes.
Well, people were saying that this was a darker, that Avengers was a darker movie. Did you feel that way?
A little bit, yeah. And as well, I think this may hold some cadence to the fact that they may let the TV side, the Netflix, more so the Netflix side of the of Marvel TV, be the more adult place. Be the more adult, adults only MCU, a part of the MCU.
Mm-hmm. Okay, where are we at now?
Let's see. One TV thing we apparently skipped, since this is still being debated, is apparently there is a poster out of actor Nick Furr as Nightwing on the upcoming TNT Titans show.
Yeah, you know what? That's been flying under the radar as far as
DC TV goes.
Yeah, you know, that's due out this fall.
No word on that yet. It's still pretty heavy in pre-production. Last I checked.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things going on with that. They're gonna be. Hey, by the way, big finish. There's gonna be some Torchwood audio dramas for those fans of the Doctor Who spinoff. That'll star John Barrowman himself as Captain Jack Harkness.
When are they gonna do some more Torchwood TV? That's what I want to know.
I have no idea.
Well, you're a gamer, Jordan.
I've been known to play the video games.
So you like the fact that Star Wars has come to Disney Infinity 3.0?
I've never played Disney Infinity.
But you are now, since it's going to be Star Wars involved.
Yes, because I totally have all that money just to spend on that.
Get stick those little Star Wars figures onto a little port, and then you get into the game. You know, I didn't think that particular game would be popular, but apparently it is. I mean, now you got Disney on its third version. You got Marvel probably going to come out with its second version. Now you got Star Wars going to be part of the whole Infinity game. Man, poor Skylanders, man. They started that trend, and now they're just getting crushed by Disney. So, anyway.
Apparently so.
You ever...
Okay, up next. Ah, man. Okay, let's see. Got that. IDW Comics and Marvel are going to be aligning together on Star Wars.
Yeah, the original Star Wars that Marvel published in back in the day, right?
Yes, they're going to be putting up artist editions and micro collector's fun packs that are going to be released later this year.
Did you haven't read none of those original Star Wars, right?
I read when I got access to a lot of back issue comics when I started reading them as a kid. I read a couple of them. I don't remember much about them.
You know, I had the original 6-issue Star Wars when I was a kid. Sold them way before I should have. I should have kept them. They would have been worth a lot of money today. But I was at a convention and they was having an auction. I thought I'd make some money, so I sold them. Dumb kid I was, but
you're stupid.
You know, they used to put out the Star Wars books before the movies came out. Did you know that? Like you was able to read the movie story before the movie actually came out. Like I read Return of the Jedi.
No, I remember that. Before. I thought that was Spy Kids.
I read the entire Return of the Jedi before I saw the movie. Of course, you know, you get more story with the comic book because they edit out stuff. But anyway.
Yeah. We got just a tiny bit of news left, so we can go for this. Avengers Infinity War is going to film entirely in new IMAX cameras.
I wanted to tell the story. You stole my story.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
See that, man? You just took the joy out of doing this show for me. Go ahead, finish, because I'm defeated.
I'm sorry, man.
You just take over. Just take over. Just do the rest of the show without me. I'm going to a corner.
Don't you be a pouty. No.
It was eventually going to happen that somebody was going to try to film an entire movie in IMAX. No, you know, Warner Brothers is known for doing it with the Superman and Batman, but now we're getting an entire movie, which means they've come up with better technology, because the whole problem was those cameras, those IMAX cameras, they're so big, and you can only film but so many minutes at a time.
Yeah, but apparently these new IMAX Arri 2D digital cameras, a joint customized digital version of Arri's new large format camera, the Alexa 65, apparently going to be able to film the whole damn movie. Over the 9 months they're going to be shooting Infinity War.
Yeah, but how's the 3D conversion going to be?
That's what I don't know. I don't care, because I'm not going to see this shit in 3D.
Oh, I am.
That's you, man. That's you. See, you go have your 3D. I'm gonna have 2D.
Because you can't afford 3D.
Also, because I don't give a shit about 3D.
Well, 3D don't give a shit about you. Now.
Well, the feeling. Well, it's good to know that the feeling's mutual. And in addition to Infinity War, America movie writers as well as co-writers on Thor: The Dark World. And creators of Agent Carter, Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, are officially announced as the writers for Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2.
Yep.
And they're teaming up again with the Russos, who they made my favorite MCU movie, Captain America Winter Soldier, so it's gonna be good. It's gonna be great.
And then... Okay, it looks like Cap is gonna be what leads into Avengers 3, right? Whatever.
Yeah.
Now the question is, what happens with Ragnarok? Thor Ragnarok? Is it that just ends with Thor and that's it, or
who knows?
Like, how does he get back to Earth and why? And then, of course, where does Guardians fall into all this? Are they going to show up at some point in the Avengers movie?
Or does Squirrel Girl suddenly appear?
Oh, you people in the Squirrel Girl, man. Y'all need to let that go, man. She's just a squirrel trying to get a nut. Okay?
You know what needs to happen? They need to have that moment where Ant-Man shrinks down to one of Hawkeye's arrows and Hawkeye shoots him at an enemy.
Yeah, we'll see if they can pull
it off. I swear, if that happens, I will lose my mind in the movie theater.
Yeah, we're not far away from Ant-Man. You know, some people are speculating this is going to be the one that's going to bomb.
Let's hope. Don't hope for a movie to bomb.
I'm not. But you know, they said that about Guardians too, and then all of a sudden, people swung on that Guardian balls. It was like, oh, it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. It's my favorite Marvel movie.
Oh, yeah, man. So don't count out Scott Lang, people. By the way, Ant-Man number 5 this week is like my favorite book.
Yeah?
Oh, dude, have you been Ant-Man right now? No, it's so
not,
good.
Not read Ant-Man.
Oh, it's by Nick Spencer, the writer of Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
Yeah, the last Ant-Man is dead, right?
Which, Aunt Eric O'Grady?
Yeah.
I can't remember. But I will say... In a bit, in a not spoilery way, Kevin Feige has officially confirmed that death that happened in Age of Ultron, fully dead.
Dead. Say it again now.
The death in Quicksilver. Age of Ultron, Feige confirmed this week that character is officially dead.
Yeah.
Okay, I will put his quote. Blank is dead. 100%. He or she is not coming back anytime soon. There are no plans. No LMD, no escaping bullets, no retcon. Feige said that he or she is dead and wanted to make sure people understood that.
That's another reason why probably people are upset at Joss, but... Anyway,
Dead is dead, people, and this non-gender specific character is dead.
And they kill all people, and once upon a time won't bring them back to life either. So,
well, yeah, I mean, come on, you gotta have some hope. Also, Marvel's kind of been abusing the whole they're not really dead card lately. So,
you mean in the comic books?
Well, I'd also say in the MCU.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I was really referring to.
Well, I got some good news.
Good news.
Incredibles 2. Brad Bird is coming back for Incredibles 2.
Oh, God. It's so good. So happy.
Let's hope he knocks it out the park with Tomorrowland first.
Oh, Surfer, hold me. I'm too happy. I'm overcome with happiness and joy. Hold me!
He doesn't do many movies, though, which is probably a good thing. But, if he knocks Tomorrowland out the park, which it looks like he has, but until I actually see the movie, I'm hoping I see it soon. You know, all right, it's Incredibles 2 movies, long overdue. Long overdue. When's that due out again?
What's the movie?
Incredibles 2.
No set time yet.
So,
he's still writing the script?
Oh, man, we're a few years off then. It takes about 3-4 years to do a Pixar movie.
Then let them take their time.
You know, we could all get blown up before then. And then, of course, Thanos could come down and wipe everything out, so. You know what Thanos' problem is?
Mm-hmm.
See, when he was a kid, he saw his mother in her true form and didn't realize his mother was a Skrull, which is why he has an affinity for death, because he thought his mother looked like death. Did you know that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Did you know Thanos' mother was a Skrull?
That's totally legit canon.
No, that's why he looks the way he does. It's because, okay, she had Thanos looking all deformed and chinned up and everything. And then she realized, wait a minute, I may look like a Titan on the outside, but on the inside I'm still scrawled. So then she used the shape-shifting abilities to make herself look like a Titan on the inside too, however you do that. Change her biology. So when Star Fox?
I think it might be.
And the other kids were born, you know, they looked normal. So, anyway. Where are we up to? We got the major news out of the way?
Yeah, we got the major news. The only other news item left to say is that James Tynion IV and artist Ming Doyle have exited the DC Dark Universe book before it's even debuted.
Okay.
Dark Universe was, of course, one of the 24 new books by DC launching in June and July, announced back in February. And this is the same creative team that's going to be on Hellblazer, John Constantine, Hellblazer. Tynion released in a series of tweets on Friday. Unfortunately, Ming Doyle and I had to step away from Dark Universe because of a few more pressing matters. We ended up folding a lot of our ideas into our Hellblazer run, which we are still very excited about and committed to. We look forward to seeing what DC does with the rest of the Dark Line and for fans to see what else the two of us have in store for 2015 and beyond. So they are not on that book anymore, but they are still on DC's Constantine the Hellblazer, co-writing with Riley Rosmo as the artist. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, Constantine the Hellblazer set to debut June 10th. He also noted that, you know, some of their ideas for that book were incorporated into their Hellblazer planning, so.
Okay, not to say I was looking forward to the book, but I don't know. What's this story about the night nurse coming back?
We already covered that.
I didn't hear what you said.
That Rosario Dawson.
She's supposed to be the night nurse.
Yeah.
I didn't realize she was, that was who she was playing. Because the night nurse is, she has mystical powers, right?
Yeah, but not this version.
Okay, I thought maybe she might have been night nurse, but I didn't realize she was actually the night nurse. So, okay.
Well, that's all the news. That's it. All cleared.
Okay. So, now we got all the good stuff out of the way, and now we can get back to our Mother Day's celebrations and so on and so forth. Did you see James McAvoy, bald head from X-Men Apocalypse yet?
Yeah, I've seen it around.
What do you think?
He looks bald.
Dude, it's a good look, though.
Yeah, it's fine. He just looks bald. That's all I gotta say about that.
Oh, Jordan, you just take off.
It looks fine on him. James McAvoy looks fine with hair. He looks fine without hair. He pulls it off either way. That's what do you want from me?
Okay, I got another box office number for you. Ex Machina, which was in limited release, got a more of a wider release this weekend. Came in sixth place, brought in $3.4 million, and so far has made $15 million in 5 weeks, which is don't know the budget on it, but it's a nice little indie hit. You haven't seen it yet, right?
No.
Are you going to try to see it, or are you just going
to
wait for
it? I do want to see it. I just got to wait until I'm able to access it.
Okay, yeah. Domhnall Gleeson and, what's his name? Oscar Isaac. Yeah, it's a very unique movie, to say the least. So, anywho, So, Jordan, I guess I'll let you get back to the Mommy festivities. You know, steak and everything, dinner, and you know, you should learn how to cook more than just rolls if you're gonna cook for Mom. You know, you could have made a breakfast.
Hey, I know how to cook more than just rolls.
You should have made a breakfast in bed. You should have cracked open a few eggs and made an omelet.
Well, then what'd you do for your mom?
What did I do?
Yeah.
For breakfast?
Oh, anything.
Well, I treated her to some breakfast. And gave her a card. And a gift.
Oh, yeah, I did. I gave my mom gifts.
Yeah, okay.
I got her chocolates. I got her a card.
Okay. Let's see. Isn't Marvel's mother a psychotic too? I don't know. Are you talking about the Marvel son or the Marvel original? This is who wrote this? Nobody. Yeah, nobody. I don't know. Nobody.
Marvel's Captain Marvel. Why even say Captain Marvel like that? I don't. Are you talking about Carol Danvers? Are you talking about Billy Batson?
No, I think he's talking about the Marvel.
But, Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I'm not.
Well, which Captain Marvel then?
I don't know if he's talking about the father or the son.
Carol Danvers. Which Captain Marvel are you talking about, nobody? Please specify, because you know there are so many comic book characters, identities that where so many people have taken out the mantle of.
Nobody says Guardian is his favorite movie to date, excluding Blade and Blade 2.
That's pretty cool. Oh, that's good to know. Well, really, we can't answer your question unless we know which Captain Marvel you're talking about.
Well, Marvel is only... the original Captain Marvel. He's the only Marvel.
Okay.
But then he married, you know, a Titan woman who had a son who was a clone, and maybe he's talking about the son. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know about Mar-Vell's mother, whether she was nuts or not.
Yeah, I can't remember as well. I did not read too much of Mar-Vell as Captain Marvel. Oh, I really didn't.
That's the character I wish they would bring back to life. He was
the again. Man. I didn't read too much of that character. Really, I only know Carol Danvers.
And what? To me, he had the coolest way. Him and DC's Captain Marvel, they have always had the coolest way of transforming. You know, with Billy Batson screaming Shazam. But Marvel, it wasn't a transformation. It was, you know, it was Rick Jones, and he had the bracelets on. He would slam those bracelets together, and energy would crackle, and he would change places with Captain Marvel.
And yeah, like, again, I only know Monica Rambeau.
Mar-Vell was the man. He had.
No, I remember Mar-Vell. Again, I'm just saying I just haven't read too much of him. I know of him. I just haven't read too much.
You know, he was instrumental in stopping Thanos the first time.
Yes, I do know that. Again, I've read that. I just haven't read too much of him, in all honesty, if I'm being completely honest.
And he is a major play in Earth-X.
No, I do. And again, I know of the character. I know of the important stuff he did. I just haven't read too much of him. So that's why I can't quite remember if his mother's a psychopathic tool or not.
Well, I never knew about his parents. I mean...
Yeah, I get Corey.
Yeah, that's the only guy that know that hasn't come out. Read for Captain Marvel, right?
Which one?
There's only been one death for Captain Marvel.
What? Could you refresh my memory?
That's the name of the story.
Was it Mar-Vell?
The name of the book is The Death of Captain Marvel.
I have not read it.
Okay, that's all you had to say.
I was asking, but I still want to know which Captain Marvel was it.
Okay, it's the original. There's only one death of Captain Marvel story.
Okay, that's all you had to say, that it was that original character that had died. That's all you had to say.
Never mind.
I told you, were you not just listening? I said I haven't read too much of him. I've read his... Oh, God, could you not make that noise? Ow.
Man, you ruined my buds for getting ready for Once Upon a Time. I mean, come on now. 2-hour season finale.
Could you please never make that noise again?
What, Cobb? Screaming out your name like that?
Yeah,
Don't get me upset, and I won't.
I was just... I apologize. I apologize for any... Jesus, ow, that really hurts my ears. Dick.
It's getting late. You see, we're starting to fight. We need to.
What, suffer? I feel like we should.
Happy Mother's Day to you, nobody listening, and everybody else in the chat room. Happy Mother's Day to you, to your mommies who raised y'all into comic book fans, and happy Mother Father Day to Double A.
To everyone on Rant.
Just want Bruce Lee on JC over the air. That's all.
Please, seriously, that really hurt my fucking ears.
And so,
don't do that again.
Well, looks like one of us will be back next week. But we would... the show will be back every week unless something goes wrong. So, but anyway, Jordan.
I apologize if I pissed you off in any way.
Didn't piss me off. Just leave it at that. Before you do piss me off, before it's too late, before you put your foot in your mouth and you get me started, and I start.
Just say I start
calling your name again in that loud, annoyed. I like it though. That's when I'm mad now. That's when we're doing. Be like. No, I'm not going to do it right now, but you know it's coming. If you anger me, you're going to incur the wrath.
Okay, lesson learned, so you don't sound like an annoying screech again.
Yeah, but wish your mom happy Mother's Day, and from me, you know, tell her I said hello, and you know, appreciate you being here, and you know, she did a good job on you and everything. You know, I know you made it hard on her, and smack your brother upside his head and tell him to be a good boy. Your younger brother, your older brother, probably beat you up, but you know,
maybe you don't know that.
Yes, they do. That's what older brothers do. They beat up on the younger brothers, so.
I figured my younger brother had it coming. He is especially annoying today.
So, all right, let's say goodnight.
Goodnight, everybody.
Oh, wait, no. Whew. Sorry, didn't pay the bills. See that? Didn't pay the bills. You know, got to mention the sponsors.
We'll do. Well, come on, let's do it.
All right, so we're here every Sunday, 5 p.m., What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. Friday nights, Lex... I like to mix up the order of these things. Lex Experience Podcast. Look for that usually on Fridays. Mondays at 7 p.m., That Awful Podcast with Will Sweeney. Thursdays, Direct Plex at 7 p.m. Tuesday nights, The Double A and Tony C with The Rant at 8 p.m. Thursdays at 9 p.m. Rant and Wrestling. Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil and Dave. Saturday nights, Wrestling Call-In Show with William Morgan. And Mondays, 11:15, Freaks and Effing Geeks with Rage and Lee. And of course, there are all the fine programming. We hope you listen to our Avengers special we did last week. If not, it's available along with the other shows on demand or iTunes. And there is the Star Wars retrospect done by Phil. Did you listen to that yet, Jordan?
I have not had time.
They did a retrospect on episode 1, and of course they'll be doing all the movies leading up to our Star Wars Christmas special in December. Be hosted by yours truly and Jordan.
Yeah, of course. Because we love Star Wars as well, and we want to bring you all in on that excitement.
And a cast of thousands. And of course, next week we got a pay per view?
Hold on, let me check the day. Yeah.
What is that? Is it Payback?
Yeah, it's Payback.
WWE Payback. Be hosted. Yeah. Pre-game at 7 p.m. with a Double A, and then a post-game at 11. So, lots of programming here on Rant EM Radio. Get in one you can fit in. And if you have a show you think you can add to the show, then contact Double A and he'll, you know, drop a line to him, and you know, he'll give you a chance, because the network is expanded and growing, and it's all about content and programming. So, and listen out for my review of Mad Max coming up real soon. So, Fury Road. All right, so now we can say goodbye, right?
Yes, we can.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
So, happy Mother's Day to everybody. And as always, peace.